What if I told you that there was a new god that has captivated the minds of young people as young as 10 and adults as old as 60 plus? It has infiltrated every aspect of our lives, and us as God's people have started to bow down to it. My name is Sam Young, and this is the Ministers of Reconciliation podcast. In today's episode, I wanted to discuss something that I've noticed that has become a lot more prevalent as of late. And that is our tendency as God's people to almost idolize complaining about church as it pertains to church congregations or organized religion. So what do you mean, Sam? Well, we become so enamored with the idea of complaining about, more or less, actually, we begin to question the validity or the purpose of going to church. Like, why should I go to a congregation when there's hypocrites or there's different things going on when I'm just as happy as, you know, just as happy at home? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And the main issue, again, is that we become to idolize that. Now, where does that idea come from? Well, it really stemmed from a couple different places. I've been thinking about this for quite a bit. And one thing that motivated today's episode was an article I read maybe 10 years ago. It was written by a more right-leaning, I think he's technically a libertarian, leaning voice in media. His name is Steven Crowder. He has a show, I think, every day called Louder with Crowder. But what he was talking about, or what the article was called, is it said, "Dear hipster Christians, you've made equality your new God." Now, I want to say this, that equality is not a problem, I mean, of itself. I mean, there ought to be equality and fairness and all these different things across, regardless of the color of your skin and whether you're a man or a woman. I agree with that 110%. What he was highlighting is that the youth have become more concerned about the causes of equality, or really the, you know, going to, instead of going to Bible study, they rather go to a rally of some sort, or they rather virtue signal that they're, you know, doing everything they can for the cause of this group or that group instead of the cause of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And they're more concerned about social justice than they are about people getting their souls saved, people getting saved and, you know, becoming Christians and accepting the Lord as their personal Savior. So, like I said, the title of the article is, "Dear Hipster Christians, You've Made Equality Your New God." So, the other thing that more recently that motivated this topic was on TikTok. That's obviously becoming the larger, or not the largest, social media platform, at least billions of users and all these different things. It's a video platform. It could be 15-second to 3-minute videos and all kinds of different topics. But one guy that I've been following, is he has a podcast called Unlearning Youth Group, which that's a conversation we can have. We may touch on that a little bit throughout today's episode. But what he was saying is that if he posts videos highlighting, or he said complaining or highlighting, an issue within organized church or maybe something he dealt with growing up, it'd get a lot of traction, a lot of views, a lot of engagement, a lot of likes, a lot of comments, different things like that. But whenever he would post a video about, okay, well, there, now we recognize the problem, here is some action steps or some solutions, it doesn't do as well. And so I saw, you know, as I'm scrolling through TikTok, I came across this video where he says, you know, I think it's interesting that we're more interested in complaining about issues within churches instead of actually being part of the solution and making changes so the future generations don't have to deal with some of the goofy things we did. So, hence the idea, or stemmed the idea, of us as God's people are more concerned about just complaining than about creating solutions. So, I do want to preface it by saying this, that anything that I touch on today, I am not dismissing. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm not dismissing what may be valid reasons to have spiritual skepticism about the validity of organized congregations. Why, you know, what's the point of having congregations, right? If people are just being, this is the Sam Young way of putting it, spiritual dinguses. What's the point of going to church if people are just going to be a bunch of punks to each other, right? So I'm not dismissing that. But I also don't want to, again, fall into the same trap where because there's problems, therefore we, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater and, you know, fail to see the forest despite, you know, in spite of the tree type of thing, where we got to understand that there's a point of going to church, whether that be on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or whatever it may be, different organized events, maybe camp meetings or youth meetings, that there's a purpose to that. And we got to be very careful that we don't fall into the temptation to just dismiss all of it because, again, some what is honestly maybe bad, very bad things that's happened under, you know, a church roof. So what are some possible reasons that we may feel while going to church, making the effort of going to church, has lost its value? One, and these are some pretty hard-hitting topics, so just bear with me. One of them is church politics. Now, you might say, well, that shouldn't exist. Well, unfortunately, it does. Okay? You know, maybe, again, pretty deep stuff. Maybe because somebody has a specific last name, maybe they're related to the pastor, or they're related to, maybe they are, or they're related to a family that's been a big part of the growth of the congregation, or maybe they're a song leader's part. They're related to the song leader. Or they are the song leader, or they have an amazing talent, and it seems like every time they sing, God really uses them. Or maybe they're a preacher, or whatever. You kind of get there. They seem like they it's not a right way to look at it, but more or less they seem like they're the spiritual elite of the congregation, which it shouldn't be. And when it comes to the Bible, that's not no such thing. The Bible says is God is no respecter of persons. But under this, I guess in this model we're looking at, I mean, they seem like they're the spiritual elite. And maybe those people who hold these specific positions, or they're used in a great way in the congregation, or again, they come from a certain lineage, a certain last name, that they can kind of get away with anything. Maybe even spiritual murder, if you will. They can spread rumors, they can gossip, they can have a rotten attitude, they can be prideful, you know, haughty and proud, but yet, here, they make a terrible, heinous rumor about you, a kind of a personal thing, or maybe you had a situation going on in your life, and they only know one percentage of the whole situation, and then they treat you wrong because of it. They excommunicate you from the church. We talk about that in episode number 5. Make sure to check that out after this episode, Elders of Excommunication. We dive in that a little bit more. But they do all of that, and then in a scenario, they do that on Sunday morning, but then Sunday night they're singing a really good song, and it seems like the Spirit of God is really moving. Maybe it causes an altar call or whatever it may be. It seems like people get really affected in a good way by a song or whatever. Or maybe they preach a really good message. They know so much about the Bible, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, but they're rotten. How are they getting away with it? And here's something that's going to be a little close to you. Maybe you try to address it with the pastor or a spiritual leader within the congregation, and they make light of it or they write it off. Well, that's just brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And unfortunately, I've heard this before, and I quote, that's just their personality. Or I've heard someone even say, well, someone's got to say it. Because there was a circumstance before where some people, I'm sure you can relate, where somebody gets behind the pulpit or something of that fashion, and they begin to preach. and it's not their job to preach because they're not a preacher, or even sometimes even pastors, to begin to preach man their own rules that's outside of the gospel, and they treat their own personal convictions as word of God, and then if you don't measure up to that personal conviction, their own personal convictions, therefore you're not saved. Like I said, it gets really deep into some of these things. So you begin to feel, well, these people have these rotten attitudes and they're getting away with it, and they're even being used or maybe even elevated to higher positions within the congregation. Maybe they started out as a singer and now they're the choir leader, and maybe they started out as just helping out every so often on a Wednesday night with a message, and now they're an ordained minister. You know what I'm saying? Before you know it, begin to lose faith because, well, one, these people are getting away with it. You know, well, the Bible says that, you know, God keeps note of it. Well, it doesn't seem like it sometimes, right? They're being used still, and God's working through them. Well, just kind of digress a little bit. God will use anything. His word's going to get, and the Bible says, my word will not return void, right? So sometimes, in spite of people's rotten attitudes, he still has a purpose. He still has souls that need to be saved, so sometimes he may use the... I better not say that. But sometimes he'll use certain things in order to get, again, his word across and his purpose fulfilled. But again, back to what I was saying, is that you feel like they're just getting away with it, and when you try to address it, no one will do anything about it. So what's the point of going to church if you don't even feel the spiritual leaders in your congregation are willing to do what it takes to be a leader? That can be very difficult. Another one, a very big one, is church problems, which can go hand in hand with number one. Maybe there was a split. Now, I've been saved, thank the Lord, since I was 9 years old, so we're going on 20 plus years, thank the Lord. Now, I've been a part of many different church services, many, 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 all glory to God. Been a part of different, attended different congregations for specific meetings, and been a part of, I've called a couple different congregations my home congregation. And I've seen some of these things firsthand, and I've heard of situations, different, splits happening in real time. Okay. I've been a part of Wednesday night services where, because there's a disagreement over, looking back, was such a minor thing, you get people walking out and then you never come back, right? Sometimes you may have infidelity within the congregation. Maybe a brother or sister get a little too comfortable, and before you know it, something happens that shouldn't be happening. And it may even be between a spiritual leader and someone else. And before you know it, it causes a disruption in the cadence of the congregation. It goes right back to that thing I just said earlier. You begin to question the ability of the leaders within the congregation. Because if they can fall, well, so can I. And, you can see how this can become a downward spiral. And, again, a third part of that would be maybe a change of pastor. Maybe a pastor, again, falls short in some way, or they get, God moves them on somewhere else, or they pass away. And a conversation a conversation I want to have someday is that, are we, as God's people, properly teaching the young men and young women, the next generation and the generation of right now, the church of right now, how to be leaders? And it's not to say, well, anybody can get up, behind a pulpit and begin to bring a lesson on something. Well, sure. But are we teaching our young men how to be spiritual leaders, right? Are we teaching our young women how to be the rock of their home, right? Are we teaching the proper dynamic, this is a big one, between the husband and wife? What it means to, as a husband, what it means to love your wife, like Paul tells the Ephesians, right? And throughout the New Testament, about how to love your wife. And what it means for a wife to respect their husband, and how that doesn't mean that, well, you make him a sandwich if he says so. That's garbage, And believe me, this is personal. I not my parents, but someone very close to me has experienced somebody who's taken that scripture of respect your husband to a dictator level. And that's not what God wants. And the again, it goes back to, are we teaching our young men and our young women the dynamics of being a husband and wife and parents? And more importantly, which that's very important, but how to be spiritual leaders in their workplace, in their school, and whatever they may be, right? So church problems could be another reason why you begin to question the purpose and the validity of going to church. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. On the other side, we're going to talk about the third thing. And while we can't really get everything in one podcast episode, the third thing I really hope you stick with is, because it's a pretty important one, and I'm pretty sure you're going to relate to it in a very big way. So my name is Sam Young. This is the Ministers of Reconciliation podcast. We'll see you after the break. Hello. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. I wanted to invite you to join the conversation. You have a question, a comment, concern, suggestion, shoot me an email at morpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Instagram at @_MOR_podcast. All the links are in the description. Now let's get back to today's episode. And welcome back to the Ministers of Reconciliation podcast. I'm your host, Sam Young. So before the break, we were discussing a couple of reasons why us as God's people may begin to feel that going to church or being a part of a congregation may lose its value. One of the reasons may be church politics, and the other one was church problems. Now the third one, I really wanted it to be its own segment because of how impactful it can be if congregations fail to meet the needs of the people in these different ways. And that is, the congregation doesn't feel they have any help with what is today's struggles. What do you mean? Maybe sexuality, maybe someone within the congregation, regardless of their age, is questioning their sexual orientation. Maybe they're a male and they feel, well, I lean more towards liking guys. What do I do with that? And vice versa. Another one may be pornography. Man or woman, maybe they struggle with pornography. We have its own episode dedicated to this. Make sure you check it out, called Mental Health Matters. But mental health, regardless if it's anxiety, depression, PTSD, schizophrenia, whatever it may be. Maybe even atheism. Maybe they question, well, sure, I grew up in church, but I don't know anymore. A lot of times, I've heard at least a lot that young people, they're really on fire for God. You know, they start out maybe preteen through their teenage years, go through high school, then they go off to college and they spend one semester at a college and some professor talks them out of 10, 15 years of their life, and now they don't believe in God. What are we going to do about it? And we're going to dive a little bit more in each of these things, but just highlighting them. And one very big one I added, you know, late, was that maybe you feel that your walk with God or your race with God has become more of a crawl than it has been a race to be run, or a walk with God. It's more like a crawl. And a lot of times people are afraid to admit this or any of these other things because they're afraid they're going to be written off as someone who lacks faith. They're being insubordinate in some way, being disrespectful to the Word of God or the pastor or whatever. I'm even maybe disrespectful to their parents, or maybe they were never saved at all. How would you like that? How would you like that you know God personally, you've experienced God in all these different ways, you've been a part of services, it wasn't just feeling, it was a knowing in your heart, you read your Bible and all these different things, and because you were having some struggles, someone all of a sudden says you're not a Christian and you hadn't been all your life. Imagine how discouraging that would be. And then for the person who is being dismissive and being unchristianizing people, then you're like, oh, well, God loves you, won't you be saved? And like, sometimes it's almost too late at that point. You've already ruined. The same way that we mentioned before how a college professor can talk someone out of their faith in one semester, you know, 15, you know, 10, 15 years of their life in one semester. You could do the exact same thing, being dismissive and being unwise, being foolish with answering someone or responding to someone with any of these issues. Of course, there's others. Any of these struggles with dismissive, you might not have ever been saved to begin with. You always kind of struggled, and all these different stupid things. You can find yourself being the same exact, you can have, as the Bible says, the blood on your skirt just as much as the atheist college professor. And what I have noticed is that as God's people, sometimes we're so afraid of, well, we don't want to let down the bars, or we don't want to fail to give me that old time religion, that old corn the Bible talks about. Well, the word is settled in heaven, same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, we're afraid of modernizing God. You know, you've heard the phrase modern worship. Oh, it's such a terrible thing. What does it even mean? Now, we talked about this in a previous episode that, yes, there are some songs that are a little repetitive. I think I've even posted a video on either the Lord Willing or the podcast Instagram where it's called the Worship Song, and part of it says, it's repetitive, it's repetitive, it's repetitive, all my problems are gone. So yes, there's a conversation about that some of them are just repetitive. it doesn't have a whole lot of meat to it. But sometimes we get so stuck in our ways that, like, oh, modern worship, not realizing, and that was the tenor of that podcast, is we got to be so careful we don't just write off someone else's, what they take as worship, with, you know, worship music just because the style is different, because that might have pulled them out of a very dark place. Okay, different conversation, but make sure you check out that episode as well. But I think it's titled something to the effect of, don't be the gatekeeper for God, or something of that nature. Quit gatekeeping for God. But what the problem is, again, back to what we're saying, is that we're so concerned about not letting down our standard, right? You know, we don't want to become Babylon. We don't want to become like false religion where we call anything Christian. And in that pursuit, we don't allow God to use maybe social media or different avenues that we're not used to from back in the day. We don't let God use those things because it's new, and it's considered anything new is modern and modern is bad. And the thing is any of these things, maybe sexuality, pornography, mental health, atheism, it's nothing new. It's not that it's become something new in the last 10, 15 years. It's just with the rise of social media and voices are now being able to be lifted, like a podcast and, you know, YouTube and all these different things, that the voice is a little louder. So it seems like all of a sudden mental health is now a big deal when it's always been a big deal. It's always been a problem. There's always been somebody that struggled with anxiety, depression, and suicide. The question is, as God's people, what are we doing to help? And the problem is where we as God's people begin to question the validity of and the purpose of going to church is when we try to address, like, hey, I'm struggling with suicide. You know, sure, maybe I don't have trauma like somebody else, or maybe you do. That's another thing, right? Maybe your parents went through a divorce. And because we understand the Bible, what the Bible says about divorce, because, you know, it wasn't like right out there that there was infidelity. Therefore, it invalidates any other reason for you getting a divorce. And people start treating you some type of way about it. That could be another reason. God help us. Talked about that before, I believe, in the mental health awareness episode. Make sure you check it out. I believe it's in segment number 2. We get pretty specific on some things. Respectfully, but pretty specific on some things. But you're met with somebody, they just dismiss you. Well, because sexuality, pornography, mental health, and these different struggles may not, in their minds, carry the same weight as being addicted to cocaine or being an alcoholic. You know, we've heard those testimonies. My dad is a perfect example of that. You tell him he's been saved for, I think, 25 plus years. You know, he'd tell you, I've done them all, Sam. He says all the time, my brain don't work the best because of it, and that's my own fault. That's what he says. That's him. But he also says, I mean, and let me digress again. I've talked about this a lot, but it does bear repeating, that I've met some of my dad's childhood friends, and they say, Sam, if you only knew Mike Young. See, I'm 30 years old. I've only known saved Mike Young. I've never knew, you know, before he knew Christ, Mike Young. And he was apparently quite a rascal. And that's putting it very lightly. So, yes, those testimonies are great. But us as spiritual leaders, not saying me, but as spiritual leaders, we got to be very careful we don't write off someone else's struggle because it doesn't, they didn't have a drug addiction of any sort. Because struggling with pornography, especially now with how you could pull out your one-eyed monster, that's your phone, and you can pull up something in a matter of seconds that is impure. Well, I mean, I'm 30. 15 years ago, you probably could do that with a right dial, you know, with a dial-up AOL connection, but now you can do it with your phone. What are we doing to help? What are we doing to help our young people that are struggling with these things? Do we have programs for that? And another thing, are we so quick to start treating people differently because, well, you know, we have drug rehab. Okay, yes, drugs, terrible, right? Alcoholism, terrible, right? We have rehabs, we have programs, we have rehabilitation services for that. But what if someone struggles with pornography? What if somebody's struggling with questioning their will to live? Like, they seriously can barely get out of bed, okay? They can barely get out of bed. They're just really struggling with it. Or maybe, again, they don't know if they even believe in God. Do we provide them more information and then just, well, Jesus saves and in the beginning God created heavens and the earth and it was so and it was good and all that? Are we giving them and teaching them how to navigate these atheistic conversations? And what are they going to do? Like, hey, why do you believe in God? Don't use the Bible. Sure, there's an argument for that and all that, whatnot. But don't use the Bible. Why do you believe in God? If, you know, there's a book that I think would be very important. And maybe this is part of it. Maybe this is me telling my, you know, future Sam that, hey, make sure you start talking to the spiritual leaders in your congregation. Hey, how about every time someone graduates high school or goes into high school, they're given Greg Kokel's book called Tactics about how they can navigate conversations intelligently so they don't just get bombarded with atheistic buzz phrases and they're left wondering if God even exists and they just started their freshman year of high school or college. Now, those could be reasons and they're all valid. Can lead all of us to become spiritually skeptical that God even has a people anymore, because some people are just been stupid. That's pretty straightforward, but they commit the sin, the abomination that Solomon talks about in Proverbs, where six things does God hate, the seventh is an abomination. What's number seven? He or she that soweth discord. And people acting and being dismissive and any of these other things we talked about could fall under that category. We got to understand, we know this, that when everything's all said and done, when our life is over, the only person that we have to worry about or we're going to be responsible for is us. Sure, as parents, and that's, yes, there's responsibility there, but the only person that's responsible for our soul is us. You know, I could say, well, this person or that person influence, and certainly they do. People have influence on our life. They can change, they can cause us to behave differently or make different decisions based on how they act or would react. But again, at the end of our life, it's just going to be us and Christ. And I believe this with all of my heart. Yes, the infamous phrase, one man or woman in God is a majority. Yes, amen. That makes sense in the workplace. That makes sense in the grocery store or at school, where you're surrounded by a whole different gang of different people. But when you're at church, or as part of a church body, We are created to be in community. We are created to be a unified people. What's one of America's favorite slogans? United we stand, divided we fall. You turn on any news outlet, you can see that where there's division, there's destruction. Right? As of late, the whole Ukraine-Russian thing, Russia situation. How come Ukraine is still standing? Because they're unified. They're willing to fight to their death to save their country. And if you look at it in prospect of how big, in proportion, how big Russia is compared to how small Ukraine is in comparison, it's pretty awesome. Right? United. If the devil can divide God's people, he's already won. If he can convince us that we're no better, that we're better off alone, and sure, sometimes there is circumstances that where, yeah, you may have to be, like maybe there's just so many dinguses within the group you're in. You still can't give up on God and throw away the validity of being part of a group. Be the example. Be the change. You know, I say it all the time, like, sure, we can complain about it, but what are we doing to change it? It's easy for me to get on a mic and say, rah, 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 come on, church, get better. But what am I doing about to change it, right? I heard this quote just today. I thought it was awesome. The apostles didn't bail on Christ because of Judas. What was that? I'm going to say it again. The apostles did not bail on Christ because of Judas. Yes, Peter had his, where he denied Christ 3 times, but all in all, he still stuck to his words as to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life, and was willing to die for it. And believe me, I understand that there is nuances. It's not a black and white issue. But what it comes down to is we must understand that God has a people, and we are created to be in community. Speaking of community, if you haven't already, make sure to follow us on Instagram at the_MOR_podcast. And also, if you haven't already, check us out at LordWillingClothingCo.com. We have an Instagram, LordWillingClothingCo. And always remember, I love you very much, and I want you to stay encouraged. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage, uplift, and to challenge us. So I hope you got just that today. Please make sure to follow us, like I said, on those different platforms. Shoot me an email. It's morpodcast@gmail.com. And be praying, because I'm going to start getting guests on the show, and I'm coming for you. I'm just kidding. But seriously, I am. So always remember, God bless and stay yes. We'll see you next time.